We are now recording.
Hi.
Please state, spell your name.
What's that?
Just for the record, can you just state and spell your name?
Oh, state and spell?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Hi, I'm Brian Ng, a.k.a. Historian himself. That's the alias I make music under. If you want to find me online, my name is spelled B-R-I-A-N-E-N-G-H. Or historian himself, which I don't feel like spelling.
Okay, perfect. All right, so I'm just going to start with some basic questions. Where are you from and where are you living right now?
I currently live in far northern California, and I grew up in Southern California, and I have family all over California, so I'm a California native, I guess is the easiest thing to say.
Where in Southern California?
I actually grew up an hour north of Los Angeles when I was a kid, it was kind of a farm town called Camarillo. And then now it's kind of an urban sprawl, mini mall town.
Yeah. I grew up in Dallas, Texas, so I'm very well aware of that kind of environment.
Yeah, the spreading infection.
Yeah, exactly. One other kind of quick question. What are you currently doing for a living?
I work as a freelance artist. I do animation. Animation is mostly how I've been paying the bills, and then just the miscellaneous illustration, sometimes prop fabrication. I do a lot of different things, and I enjoy doing a lot of different things. So I call myself a freelance artist, but primarily 2D animation is my day gig.
Yeah, I remember there was a period where you online were talking a lot about the dinosaur animation project, and I was wondering what was happening with that, if anything.
It basically got put on hold. The producer who kind of sparked the whole project by saying that she had connections at Nat Geo Kids and we could put together a pitch, she then got another job and sort of bailed on us a little bit. I think she wasn't aware of how long it takes to prepare animation and do pre-production on animation. So I think getting the necessary animation together in order to make a pitch took longer than anticipated, and the producer got another job, and then myself and the other animators who were having meetings and things like this, we all had to do other jobs as well. So it got put on hold, and that was about 2 years ago. I realized in order to be able to do a project that ambitious and that counter to the current culture in mainstream media, I need to establish my own art and aesthetic more, which is why I'm focusing on the Earth Beast Awaken stuff right now.
All right. Well, in that case, let's talk about that. So, How did you conceive that project?
So I went to school for film production, and I minored in animation. And then somewhere along the line, a guy who was supposed to make music for one of my projects flaked on me, and I had to make music myself. I had dabbled a little bit in composing music digitally before, and writing lyrics and stuff like that. So then I started making music, and Earth Beast Awaken kind of just evolved out of me trying to figure out a style that was true to who I am and the kinds of things that I like. And I had always thought about doing music videos as, hopefully being able to direct for other artists. But then as time went by, this project kind of evolved and took on its own life. And I realized, I should just finish this project and put it out there and then use it as a way to make music videos as like portfolio pieces or whatever. And then, as time went by, I realized there's actually not a lot of like there's kind of two tiers of artists. There's indie artists with no money and signed people who have money but who are under the thumb of their record label or of a corporate music identity. And the corporate music people don't want anything original in music videos. They just want a performance, and they want, like, you know, some like sex appeal and some like subtle product placement. And then on the right. On the other side, on the indie side, they don't have any money, so they don't, you know, you can't make a lot of music videos for, like, you know, doing anything really cool takes a long time. And so, you know, people are trying to, like, musicians and making music generally doesn't take quite as long as making like animation or puppets or, you know, some of these effects type things that I like to do that I think are visually compelling.
Right.
You know, that type of stuff takes a long time. So basically what I realized is, you know, if I'm going to make some cool music videos that I would get excited about, I've got to kind of do this project on my own and try and figure out a way to do it so that you know, it to show kind of to show that it can be done, and that you can be an independent musician who puts out cool stuff for relatively little money. It's just a matter of like building an audience, doing some crowdsource funding, and also just, you know, having the patience to work through the stuff, even if it takes months and months to complete.
Yeah, one of the things that I really responded to when I think the first music video I ever saw of yours was Bakira, and I thought that the look of that was not really like anything I'd ever seen before.
Awesome. Yeah, I appreciate that.
So how do you go about kind of directing it? I assume that since you're performing in a lot of the shots, that are you behind the camera, or are you you kind of do storyboards and then pass the camera off to someone else?
Well, I mean, it's different for different projects. Bagheera was kind of, a lot of my videos, a lot of the Historian Himself videos pre Earth Beasts Awaken are like poorly conceived and scatterbrained, and I was just trying to like get work out there and go through the process of finishing videos and just running through that process. In the case of Bagheera, you know, I had the idea for the song, and I was trying to make a discipline of putting a video out every month, which that kind of fell apart with Bagheera, because I got excited about making those masks, and then I spent several weeks making those ceramic masks. Those are ceramics, fired ceramic masks with, you know, that are like took a long time to make. And then really I didn't have much of an idea for the video other than it would be cool to make these masks and have them hanging in the forest with candlelight inside of them. And then I didn't know what else to do, so I was like, oh, I guess I'll just put mud on myself and stand there and yell my weird shit. And then you know, and then I realized, like, this video still just isn't, it's not quite enough. It's just me standing there with these masks. So then I was like, well, I should, yeah, I should film all the creatures that are around here. And because that whole song is really about kind of being, you know, a lot of my stuff is about feeling more connected to animals, or like feeling this like brotherhood with creatures that sometimes I don't even feel with humans, especially in our modern society.
Right.
So yeah, Bagheera, I mean, it wasn't a very well conceived video. If I had my druthers, I wouldn't even be in it. But you know, it's like it's there. I don't know. Yeah, in that case, it was like I made those masks, and then I got my buddy to come out to the spot that I found to film. And it was basically, you know, we just worked through it. And then I filmed some of the shots, like most of the close-up shots of the masks and all the stuff of the frogs and salamanders and stuff, I filmed all myself.
Where'd you get the soft shell? I didn't know that there were soft shells up in California.
That soft shell was actually nowhere near where we were filming. That one was, I think that was a Florida soft shell, and it was in the... I'm blanking on the name of the botanical garden. There's a botanical garden in Southern California. Oh, crud. Man, I'm blanking on the name of it right now. But I actually went.
It doesn't matter that much.
Yeah. Anyway, it was in a pond in a botanical garden. It was kind of cool because they were the soft shells were feeding on. They were crawling up to the edge of the pond, and they were basically kind of doing what dolphins do, trapping little tiny fish in the shallow water, and then they'd shoot out their neck and slurp them up. And so they're coming right up to the edge of the pond, and they didn't seem to be afraid of humans because, I mean, obviously they were pets at one point or something.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. I was actually there for, I was filming, they have a Japanese garden there. I can't believe I'm blanking on the name of this garden right now, but, I have a cool Japanese garden there, and I was filming some stuff for another music video that's on my YouTube page in the Japanese garden. And then
is that the one with the praying mantises?
No, actually, now that one's all blue screen. No, I did a music video for some other rappers called the American Poets, and one of the rappers was sort of affiliated with the Wu-Tang Clan. And so we did like a samurai type video, and there's like two shots of a ninja running in a bamboo forest. we did that illegally in this botanical garden whose name I can't remember. That's where the softshell turtle. California doesn't have softshell turtles or any. It only has one native turtle species, but California has a huge amount of people with pets that they're letting go. So there's red-eared sliders and there's snapping turtles. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a population of softshells somewhere, lake or pond in California. It totally wouldn't surprise me. I mean, there's a lot of. I mean, there's several. Apparently established populations of Jackson's chameleons in Southern California. So
a lot of your rapping, obviously, you said it deals with these subjects that you really connect with, like paleontology and zoology and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But what really I find interesting is the kind of like almost like shamanistic vibe that you bring to it. So is that something that that was a vibe that you intentionally created, or was it something that you just found emerged in your writing?
I mean, everything's intentionally created, but for sure there's, I think what I realized was that the feeling that really motivates me, to want to make, particularly rap music, is this feeling of being connected to this old, ferocious planet that we live on. And I think that's like, that's kind of, I think that's part of the reason why hip hop appealed to me initially, is because it's just what I would call like real hip hop or an underground hip hop. A lot of it is a common theme is the struggle for survival and the struggle for identity and the struggle for, having a voice, basically. And I feel like that's something that's also you see in the geologic record, and you see it in Darwinian evolution. There's this constant struggle for creatures to not just survive but also to stand out, in order to compete with each other within a species for mates and for food and for territory. And I guess as a kid, I always grew up watching nature documentaries and wandering around in the hills, and that was just something that I always, always when I felt the most alive was when I was, running down a hillside or, would come across deer or find a king snake or something. Like, these were, all these feelings were, I don't know, it was, the truest, most real thing that I could get at. And granted, yeah, it is a performance for sure I don't practice any shamanistic religion or anything like that. I was actually raised Catholic, which I am now not. I don't consider myself that, but I in the process of making music and trying to make better music, you dig through layers of yourself and go, okay, what am I trying to you know, what's me? What do I have to contribute to the conversation that isn't just bullshit?
Right.
Hopefully. I mean, everything's a little bullshit, I guess. But anyway, so yeah, that's that feeling is, I don't know. To me, it's compelling. But yeah, I hope other people like it. I hope it's not. At times I feel like I watch my stuff and I go like, ugh, this seems so pretentious. I don't want this to be pretentious because this is a really sincere feeling. But yeah, anyway.
Well, I think what's interesting about it is that it could very easily feel pretentious, but to me at least, it doesn't, because it's like you're cutting it with just enough, I guess, almost silliness in some ways.
Uh-huh.
Silliness is probably the wrong word. I mean, weirdness, I guess.
Yeah.
With the new music video that you just put out, with In Mountains,
uh-huh.
What was kind of the process where you were figuring out what you wanted to do with that? Did you know initially that you wanted that to be more narrative, or did you kind of go back and forth about it?
So that track was originally on my first musical project, my album called Earth Beast Awaken, which I made like 5 years ago now. And you know, most of the tracks from that album I don't even really like anymore. But that track, I was in the mountains and I was like, man, I want to capture this feeling that I have. And
I think you nailed it.
Good. That makes me feel good to hear that. Yeah. So I mean, it started with a track, and then you know, every time I make music, I'm imagining visuals the whole time. No matter, even if I don't plan on making a music video for it. And then there was, you know, then it struck me. It's like, you know, I'm here in the mountains. Like I could shoot some footage. So I actually, the first footage I shot for that project, there was no monsters in it. It was just me walking around in a snowy forest rapping, and it was bad. It was terrible. it wasn't what it needed to be, you know? And then, as time went by, the idea kind of evolved, and then the idea of doing some music videos with creatures came along, and then I, you know, basically realized, like, you know, I think it would be cool to take a couple, you know, take a few tracks from the album and have them be, sort of form this larger story. And so then In Mountains is the first step in that, where, you know, the historian is wandering in the forest, discovering something, and then that, you know, triggers this larger chain of events. So yeah, it definitely evolved. The current video that just came out has footage from three different winters in it. Like, it was an ongoing process of, you know, filming stuff, figuring stuff out, building a creature, filming stuff, and then just this winter I filmed a few other pickup shots that kind of tied everything together.
So the creature design for the, I don't quite know what to call it, not pterosaur, but the what is it exactly, would you say?
Well, I've never like publicly said this, but I call it the terrorsaur, which is the terrorsaur, like it's terror. Sore.
Yeah.
It's a stupid pun, but basically my idea with the creatures in Earth Beast Awaken is that they're mythologized paleo creatures. In other words, like one of the themes I was playing with in the album is this idea that, you know, science is accurate technically, but mythology is accurate emotionally. And so the idea is to kind of like make this mythology that's inspired by science. It's supposed to, I mean, it's clearly pteranodon inspired, but it's also a dragon, and it's also to a certain degree a demon. It represents
awoken by fire. Yeah.
Yeah, to me it represents like it's extinction basically, and it rises up every now and then, cleanses the earth.
So when you created Earth Beast Awaken, the album, did you kind of have a story in your head for it, or did you just take your songs together and figure out the threads of, like, you know, tie them?
Yeah, again, it was something that evolved over the course of several years. I mean, the first album I was tinkering with off and on for like 2.5 years. And so as I, you know, I would make beats and I would come up with rhymes and I would try different things and try different styles of delivery and record stuff and then rework beats. And then through that, you know, some of it, honestly, the image of the pterosaur, for example, that really came out of just a lyric that idea of that creature just came out randomly from somewhere in my subconscious while I was writing lyrics, or not even writing, just like coming up with words. And it was, you know, it was something that, like, you know, I'm sure you have this when you're coming up with ideas or thinking, conceptualizing about whatever. Every now and then there's just an idea that, like, you can't really let go of, you know, kind of gets its hooks into you. And that was one. So then once, you know, I don't remember which line exactly in Earth Beast Awaken resulted in me imagining this big, dark, you know, harbinger, pteranodon, dragon, demon. But once I had that image in my brain, it was like, oh, this is what the album is about. It's about this character, you know, returning to the surface once again. I'm sorry these answers are so rambling.
No, it's fine. So was that a puppet? Was it a person in a suit? It looked really good.
Thank you. It's a hand puppet, actually. I mean, the neck and head are a hand puppet, and then the body is, you know, the body hangs down below the performer's arm. The torso is about the size of a human torso. It's a little smaller, and then the wingspan is like, I think 13 or 14 feet. So that's like just the head and neck part is a hand puppet, and then the rest of it is pretty much just a floppy rod puppet. It's not very well made.
It's shot like I would never have guessed. I was trying to found some thin dude and like slap the pteranodon mask on him.
Awesome. Yeah, that's good.
Good.
Awesome. I'm glad it's tricking people. I wasn't sure.
So what music videos do you have coming up next? What songs are you gonna kind of adapt?
I just literally, like, right before you called me, I finished uploading the trailer for the next Earth Beast video. It's for a track off the album called Call to Awaken, and it's the next step in the life cycle of the big pterosaur dragon monster. And there's the video has, I think the count is up to 10 monsters in it. There's a lot of monsters, and there's fighting, and there's volcanic explosions, and I'm in that. The trailer is up on don'tmesswithdinosaurs.com right now, so everybody go check it out.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to looking at that. You've got another album coming out, though, right?
Yeah, currently slated for this fall. I was actually trying to finish it last fall, and so I made a bunch of album art and sold album art to finish the album, and then worked for 2 months straight trying to finish the album, and it's still not quite done. So I basically appealed to my Facebook audience and said, what do you guys want? Or I should say my online audience. I asked them what they wanted, and they said, get the Earth Beast videos done. You know, we want to see. We've been waiting for Earth Beast videos for like years. So I decided I'm going to finish the Earth Beast stuff, and then the new album should be coming out this fall. It's a little more than halfway done, and it's all conceptualized. So the hard part is done. Now I just got to actually record all of it and then mix and master. So the new album is called Gather Bones, and it should be coming out in the fall. And it's
is it like Earth Beast Awaken? Is it kind of a concept album, or?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, what happens is I make a lot of music and write a lot of lyrics, and then I, you know, sort of like with Earth Beast Awaken, there's an idea that gets its hooks into you, or a series of themes that seem related that engender a sound. And so Gather Bones it's got a uniting theme. It's not quite as like story concept driven as Earth Beast Awakened. I mean, Earth Beast Awakened is really, I mean, just by the title, you know, it's about monsters are going to come out of the dirt and destroy humans or something like that.
Right.
For whatever that's worth. Gather Bones is kind of an exploration of like my upbringing and religion and, you know, ethno-cultural background. And yeah, so it's a different, I think it's a totally different feel and musically pretty different than Earth Beast Awakened. I've recorded several actual instrumental musicians, and it's not just sample based like Earth Beast Awakened is. And then I actually sing on it a little bit, which, you know, we'll see how that goes. And yeah, it's a different deal. There's a teaser track on my website called So Much Jesus that people can listen to if they want to hear a little taste. And actually, there's two teasers. There's a teaser video called So Much Jesus, and there's a teaser track called Old Black Coffin, and people can check those out on my website as well. And there I think you'll get a different feel for the style than from Earth Beast Awakened.
So since this interview's happening both for Chasmosaurs and Prehistoric Times, let's talk dinosaurs a little bit.
Yeah.
How'd you get started doing paleo art?
So I've always been drawing dinosaurs ever since I was a little kid, and so that's kind of been the foundation of my whole creative discipline, which is why my website is Don't Mess With Dinosaurs, and it's not just dinosaurs, it's all my stuff, but not messing with dinosaurs is like the, you know, that's the foundational mantra. You gotta have respect for the ancient creatures you know, the facts and the fossils. And so yeah, I've been drawing dinosaurs for a long time. At some point in college, I realized that, you know, I should just try and take it to the next level and try and be more scientifically accurate and try and step up my drawing and digital painting game. And
right.
So yeah, and then, you know, then I just started putting stuff on the internet on my website, and I've just, you know, I've done a few commissions. I've had, I think I've had at least one image published in a scientific paper. I mean, I by no means have a career in paleo art at this point, but I'm passionate about it. So it's something that I'm going to be building on in the future, hopefully.
So, I remember, I think you had that image of the arthropods in the bioluminescent cave. Is that the kind of art that you kind of plan on doing more in the future, or is there particular subjects that you feel yourself drawn to inside paleo art, so to speak?
I mean, certainly I want to explore the possibilities of paleo art, because I think, you know, there's definitely a lot of tropes that have been just, people have beat the hell out of them. I mean, especially with sauropods are I think as a group the most egregious example of dinosaurs, where they've been drawn the same way over and over again. They're gray or brown, and they're all walking on a flat, like, packed earth with Araucaria trees, yeah, with some type of conifer or monkey puzzle tree, and it's like that's the same thing. And yeah, I mean, that they did that probably, and, you know, based on where we find their bones. But I mean, animals do so much more than, you know, the moment where they die. So I definitely want to do. I like the speculative stuff for sure. I think that you get. You know, it's good. You want to root everything in the fossil history, but at the same time, I think that you need to try and, as a paleo artist, you really have to think of an animal as an animal and as a thing with a complex life history that would be going into different environments and doing different things. And, you know, more than likely, huge dinosaurs weren't super specialized. That tends not to be the case. Well, I mean, okay, never mind. I don't know what I'm talking about. Giraffes are pretty specialized. I like the speculative stuff, and I like to think about, you know, all the weird things that animals do, and then try and think about what these really, really weird animals from a long time ago would do.
Right. Do you have any particular types of doctor that you just find yourself drawing over and over again?
Well, like most little boys, I drew the heck out of theropods all day long since I was a little kid.
As do we all.
Yeah. So, yeah, for me, it was, but I really like all of them. So, like, I even like, you know, people go like, oh, boring old ornithians or whatever, or boring ornithopods and duckbills. But I like those guys. I think they're so fascinating. But lately, I've been on a sauropod kick. I've started a friendship with Matt Wadle of Sauropod Vertebrae Picture of the Week fame, and we've definitely been nerding out a lot about sauropods. And so, in the future, he and I plan to do a book together. You know, just really trying to take the image of sauropod out of they finally crawled out of the swamp and now they're on the flat pan with some some monkey puzzle trees, but like we want to take sauropods to the levels that theropods have been taken through. You know, you see theropods depicted doing all this really interesting stuff, but like sauropods and armored dinosaurs, they just stand there in paleo art for the most part or hit a theropod in the face. But it's like, yeah. Like they were doing some, I'm sure they were doing some crazy, like they're physically some of the craziest animals that have ever existed, if not the craziest. Yeah,
like fucking Stegosaurus. It's weird as shit looking, and we just sort of forget because we're used to seeing pictures of it just sitting there.
Yeah, and everybody assumes that the chitin covering Stegosaurus's plates was the shape of the plates, but I mean, that's just the bone core. And like, if you look at claws or horns, the bone core is not representative of what the chitin on the outside looks like, especially with things like antelopes that have all these amazing, you know, beautiful grooves in their chitin or in their, I'm saying chitin. I mean keratin. I'm goofing up. Chitin is what covers bugs, right? Keratin, the keratin sheath covering the bone. All right. Got my back. Yeah, this is, all right, so we're at 32 minutes right now, so. I don't know. You're gonna have. What's that?
Good material is good material. Let's keep it coming.
All right, I'm fine to go for however long, but you know, just for editing's sake, you're gonna have some editing to do.
All right. But yeah, it's interesting that you mentioned that about ornithischians because I also do paleo art, although I'm not quite as I think practiced at it, but. The little sprinting ornithischians are really interesting, and I think very underserved, even more so maybe than hadrosaurs.
Mm-hmm. Wait, sorry, which more so than hadrosaurs?
Stuff like hypsilophodonids.
Oh, yeah. Those basal forms are so fascinating because they have little features that you can see turning into all this other stuff.
Yeah, you said that you were thinking about doing a book. Do you have any other kind of big paleo art projects coming up? Or is everything sort of subordinate to Earth Beast Awaken right now?
At the moment, everything's subordinate to Earth Beast. But yeah, I want to do a sauropod book with Matt Wadle. I don't know if I should be talking about that yet because that might be years off. Yeah, other than that, I'm doing a couple marine reptile illustrations for a book. Coming out of the Melbourne Museum. I also don't know if I'm allowed to talk about that, but I don't care. They'll never hear.
Well,
yeah. So just a smattering of paleo art at the moment.
Do you have a favorite dinosaur right now, or?
Oh man, you know what? I want to say at the moment, just cause like, just why not? I'm gonna say Pachycephalosaurus. Because that is the most ridiculous animal. I think, I don't know, maybe I'm like half, man, Pachycephalosaurus, we don't really know what they were doing, but we know they were smashing their heads into things, and that to me is amazing, and they look crazy.
Right?
It's like a bipedal ceratopsian that was like, and they were terrifyingly big. Like, if you saw a Pachycephalosaur in real life, it would stand... They stood like elephant shoulder height and had these giant bone dumps. Like, they were big, gnarly animals that were doing bizarre stuff. And again, they're, you know, they're...
I didn't realize that they were that large.
Was that? If I'm not mistaken, they get pretty darn... I think the big specimens of pachycephalosaurs are estimated to be about 20 feet long.
Damn.
If I'm not mistaken, I could... Don't quote me on that, because I am an idiot and I goof up numbers.
All right, and stuff. I won't.
But no, yeah, look into the large...
That is an intimidating image.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you consider that the largest crocodiles alive today are under 20 feet long, maybe there's like one 20-footer in the Philippines or something like that, but there's like, that's a huge, and just a 20-foot-long animal with ostrich legs on it, or stronger, like bigger, thicker ostrich, like ostrich hybrid elephant, just these monstrous trunk-like legs. For running around on, that's an incredibly powerful animal, and I don't know, I love to imagine these animals that have only been imagined a couple different ways, and pachycephalosaurs almost certainly were like 1,000 times weirder than anything we've imagined, is my guesstimation, just based on like how weird hornbills are. But you can't tell just looking at their skull how, like, all the crazy stuff they do. Or, you know, or tortoises even. Like, if you found a tortoise shell, you'd be like, oh, this is an animal with an armor on its back. You wouldn't have any idea that they mine and they make grunting noises when they chase each other around to have sex. And they have, like, little personalities and they like to be groomed. Like, they're these bizarre little guys. So, anyway.
Terrifying genitalia and weird social behaviors don't fossilize.
Yeah, yeah. All that stuff that stuff's all so fascinating to me, and I think it's I think, you know, there's this debate going on in paleo art right now because of all yesterday's came out, and now I feel like people are stratifying into two camps. There's the camp that promotes highly speculative paleo art, and there's the camp that says, like, well, no, we really should stick to just what we can infer from the fossils directly. And I think one argument that it isn't made enough, and this is sort of Matt Wadel's argument, is that when you go really speculative, you get more of a debate going, and that debate is actually what's healthy to science. And if you get people asking weird questions like, could some weird sexual behavior, could some weird nesting behavior, could, you know, what of these things could be inferred from fossils? How can I look at fossils differently? How can I look at trace fossils differently and you know, infer, you know, possibly to high degrees of accuracy? I mean, you've got people now looking at fossils with UV lights and finding traces of soft tissue that they didn't know were there. You got people analyzing, you know, traces of pigments and stuff. And all of that's because, you know, people were imagining these animals and going, I wonder how, if I could figure out if that was real or not, you know?
Right.
And I think that's cool.
Yeah. We over at Casual Swords have been following all yesterday's thing pretty closely.
Uh-huh.
We're all in favor of it. I think we've gone on record. But, there is certainly one of the things that I thought was most kind of most convincing about it was the statement, you know, making a conservative choice is still making a choice.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, I think, is something that really needs to be kind of injected into paleo art today. Not to editorialize on my end, but
yeah,
something that I've personally kind of been thinking about.
Yeah, another, sorry. Go ahead.
No, go.
I was just gonna say another thing Matt Wadel said that I thought was really, really great. This is one of the things he's said to me a long, long time ago before I even like knew him personally. I stumbled across SV Pal and I was like, whoa, this is a really, really readable blog that's really in depth on sauropod science. And so I was inspired by some of his articles on pneumaticity to do this illustration I did of these big brachiosaurs with inflatable neck displays.
Yeah, I've seen that one.
And so I emailed him and I was like, is this stupid? Like, should I not draw this? And then he was like, no, absolutely, you should draw it. Because the thing of it is like, yeah, if you're, and this was before, way before All Yesterdays or any of this stuff was really blowing up on the net and like getting talked about, he was saying, if you draw a dinosaur boring, you're almost certainly wrong because you can't see the actual animal. Like, there, no paleo art is actually 100% accurate. So if you're being conservative, you're inaccurate and you're boring. So be imaginative, because then you're inaccurate and you're stimulating. You know, you're putting some new ideas out there. And that's something that I've really been thinking a lot about. I've been, right now, my paleo art is like, I'm stacking ideas in my brain and going like, I really want to do this. I need to study how to draw this kind of plant so I can set this environment scene right. And I gotta game up my lighting, paint, like how to paint lighting better and stuff like that. But yeah, anyway, that's all. Yeah, I'm glad the word is out though.
Yeah, it's certainly producing more interesting artwork, which as a person who's interested in art, I'm all about.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Let me see. I think I have one or two more questions.
Okay. I'll try not to be as rambly.
We talked a little bit about animation. You mentioned that you did some other animation work. I was just kind of curious about that. So, what exactly do you do?
I've done a smattering of random, like right now I'm finishing up a segment of 2D traditional animation for an independent live action feature film. It's just a guy in LA who's an actor, and he's funded and shot his own film, and in one part of the film he tells a story, and it's like based on a Greek myth. So I'm animating this Greek myth type story. It's all hand-drawn animation done under the camera with charcoal and graphite, and then it's composited in the computer to look like a cave wall. So I end up doing sort of niche animation, either using the computer entirely, or if I'd had my druthers, doing as much stuff on paper or with physical materials as possible. But yeah, I don't know, that just odd stuff like that. For a while, I was, ironically enough, I was animating Bible stories for the Lutheran Church. They had me working in their animation department of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of America's publishing house, and it was kind of like what we call cut paper animation, where it's, you know, sort of South Park style, where the characters are made out of different layers moving in the computer. Nothing real high tech or exciting, to be honest, but it paid the bills and it helped make Earth Beast Awaken happen. So stuff like that.
Yeah, it's a little ironic, but
at least, I mean the Lutherans, as far as Christians go, you know, they're on the liberal, reasonable side. Like, they believe in evolution and they don't stifle education and stuff like that, so, you know, whatever.
I've done some reporting recently on Pentecostal serpent handlers, and there was one service I went to where it was like they had a checklist, mm-hmm. of that they were not, that they did not agree with, and mm-hmm. they ran down that checklist. They didn't like Obama, they didn't like evolution, and they didn't like gay marriage. Mm-hmm. And they said all three in just this, like, kind of tired, like, and everyone here agrees with this, so let's just sort of get it out of the way.
Yeah.
That would be pretty hilarious.
Yeah, I was at, like, I went... You know, I was being a good boyfriend, and I went with my girlfriend and her family to her dad's church, and it was just, I don't even know what kind of Christian they were, you know, just some general Protestant Christian group, and like somewhere in the pastor's sermon, he said something about, like, unlike some people who worship saints, which is like this objection, one of the key objections of Protestantism to Catholicism is that Catholicism sort of idolizes saints to a certain degree.
Right.
And like that, but just like the I don't know. It kind of made me mad, but it was also kind of just hilarious that these people, like, we're not screwing up by, we don't subscribe to this imaginary caricature of a possibly fictitious ancient person, but we do like this one. So I don't know. I don't know.
I mean,
my music is pretty decidedly non or anti-Christian, not anti-Christian, but definitely anti.
No, I know what you mean.
Anti any worldview that stifles free thinking or, you know, whatever. I don't know. Shit.
Yeah. I'm just going to tell you this because I think it's kind of funny. So I knew about you as Brian Hang, paleo artist,
mm-hmm.
before I knew about you as historian himself, like musical person.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that I found out about you as a musician was I had this friend who's also from North California,
mm-hmm.
who came to college the year that I left it.
Oh yeah.
And he told me, oh yeah, there's this rapper I know this rapper I know of, and you two were like interested in like really similar things, you should listen to him. And I was like, oh yeah, sure, okay, whatever. And then he sent me one of your music videos, and I was like, oh, this is really cool. So I started looking at you, I was like, oh hey, it's this guy.
Whoa. You know, that's funny. That's really weird. Who, do you mind my asking who the person, like, did the person actually know me, or is just somebody that had come across my stuff?
I mean, do you know Will McGavin?
Who? Sorry?
Will McGavin?
No, I don't know who that is.
He's apparently one of the youngest master didgeridoo makers in the country.
Oh, wait. What did you say his last name was? Because I know Will Thorin.
It's McGavin.
McGavin. Oh, that's interesting. Because, all right, I know a guy named from Southern California whose brother I went to high school with, named Will Thorin, who's a master didgeridoo maker. So probably that's the connection. Is that because?
Yeah, I guess it must be.
I don't know the guy you're talking about, I don't think, but I do know another guy, because the didgeridoo community isn't real big. That's really interesting. Whoa. Didgeridoo network representing. That's funny.
Yeah, right. Have you thought about putting didgeridoo music in your as like a backing track or something?
So the guy I know, Will Thorin, posts videos and stuff. He posted one video where he was making some really interesting sounds with the didgeridoo that weren't like, you know, they weren't the standard like wow 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 that you hear in like every didgeridoo song or sample. He was making some really interesting bassy, you know, awesome noises, and I hit him up and I was like, hey, would it be all right if I sampled this? I've never done anything with it yet, but it's been in the back. That's one that's been in the back of my mind. Like, I should figure out how to make something with that. Because it's a really interesting instrument.
It's really kind of tied in with your music in some way, just the sort of the age, how old it sounds.
Yeah, yeah. And it's got this, like, some of the sounds that come out of a didgeridoo sound, I mean, because it's like a human noise coming, like, just reverberating really weird. I mean, a lot of the sounds sound like animals and stuff, you know. So, yeah, it's something I've thought about. I just haven't gotten around to it. It's one of the billions of ideas that I know. I have no idea when I'm going to get to it or if I'm going to get to it. It's on the pile, though.
So, once you're finished with Earth Beats Awaken and Gathered, you know, with next, or just whatever kind of jumps out at you.
Sorry, what was the question?
Sorry, so once you finish Earth Beats Awaken and Gather Bones, mm-hmm. you know what comes out, what project you're going to do after that?
I think, you can never quite tell how life's going to go, because when you finish a new project and, you know, new people come at you with other work and ideas and stuff like that. But currently the plan is to do a stint of, like, heavy-duty paleo art and try and put a book together. That's That's the goal, but I'm not sure how soon that's going to happen, because once I finish Earth Beasts and Gather Bones, there's going to be a period of time where I'm just like, I'm going to put some kind of a tour together, and I'm going to go around and promote those things and try and sell copies of CDs and t-shirts and bullshit like that. So
where are you thinking of going? Just mostly in California, or?
I don't know yet. I think we're going to see how the internet audience grows and then kind of put it out like, hey, where are you people? And then, see what I can get away with, and then, network with other musicians and you see where they're going and tag along on some touring and stuff like that. The other thing I want to do, I'm trying to figure out exactly the feel of the live show right now. But one idea I have is to actually do wilderness performances where the show announcement is like a geotag, and then you've got to get there, and it's like, it's in a remote area somewhere, and we'll see if anybody shows up, and if nobody shows up, then I've got a cool excuse to go to a remote area and hang out for a while. And then if people show up, it'll be like it'll be a really close-knit, intimate campfire, all acoustic and or a cappella performance, with me and probably one or two other friends, and then who knows, maybe a monster will jump out of the bushes at some point. You never know these days. So that's one idea. I got to work out the logistics of that and who knows, maybe nobody will show up to that, but to me that's like the kind of experience I feel like is a better delivery method for my music. I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of clubs or big concert venues, so I'm trying to figure out, all right, if I'm gonna do a live thing, how do I do the live thing such that it supports what that music actually is meant to be?
There's if you end up in Austin at all, there's some really great spots there under bridges that are on these kind of fossiliferous kind of chalk banks.
Awesome.
And that, I've seen some secret shows there where people put candles in, kind of into the cracks in the rock around the bridges, and it's a really good space.
That's awesome. And you probably get crazy reverb under the bridge too.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome.
Especially the shows that I saw were kind of softer acoustics, so yeah, it worked really well.
That's cool. Yeah, one of the things I thought was cool was, are you familiar with the Icelandic band Sigur Rós?
Yeah.
They did a documentary that was really pretty where they toured around and performed in all these really epic landscape features and an abandoned whaling plant or something. Oh, they performed in all these crazy locations throughout Iceland, and in that case it was more for the documentary. Only a few of the performances actually had audiences, but I just thought that was cool, just the idea of doing the music in the place that inspires the music, or in a place that resonates with that same kind of feeling, as opposed to
in mountains on a slope somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, or in a cave or something. That to me makes a lot more sense than trying to create a communal experience around the actually often alone experience that inspired the music is kind of a tricky thing. So anyway, yeah. But yeah.
All right.
That's stuff.
Yeah, that's I think that just about covers it.
All right.
Really quick, can you mention where I can find you, or where the people that I'm going to write about can find you online?
Oh, okay, yeah. So yeah, again, you can find any of my work on my website is, let me phrase this better. You can find all of my finished works collected on my website at don'tmesswithdinosaurs.com. And then, you can also stay in touch and stay up to date with the latest that I'm working on and see behind the scenes stuff on my Twitter feed, which is, twitter.com/GreyGriffin. That's GreyGriffon, and also on the facebook.com/historian himself, And if you just Google Historian himself, I think those are the three things that come up. At least that's the three results Google returns to me when I test to make sure my tags and stuff are working. So hopefully that's working for other people. Yeah.
All right. Actually, you know what? There were two other questions I wanted to ask, and I totally forgot about them.
No, that's fine.
What's your favorite project you've done?
Oh, the favorite project I've done?
Yeah.
Oh, well, the latest Earth Beast Awaken video. I mean, it's a little weird because like the finished product is you have a different feeling about a project that takes a really long time when you finally finish it. Like, I usually don't like most of my stuff when I'm done with it, or I'm kind of sick of it, or I'm too close to it, or whatever. But the latest Earth Beast Awaken video that I just released a preview for was by far the funnest thing to make that I've ever made. It's not done yet. I still got a lot of post-production to do on it, but it's got like 10 different monsters, all handmade practical creatures. Some of my close friends helped me build the creature costumes, and there's monsters fighting in it, and we filmed it all on location, and it was messy, and we were shooting air cannons full of dirt and rocks and stuff, and we were knocking over boulders, and it was just really, really fun to make. And everybody who worked on it had a great time. So it's like, that's my favorite project because it's got the most monsters, and the whole thing was fun to make. I was, you know, I wasn't like stressed out or up against the deadline. I said like, screw it. We're gonna max out the monsters. I don't care how long it takes. We're gonna get this done one way or another. And then, yeah, so check out the preview. That's on I gotta put that up on DontMessWithDinosaurs.com. That's on YouTube right now and Facebook and all that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's called Call to Awaken. Sorry, what was that?
Say what?
That track. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I can't talk on phone anymore. So the other question is, what do you think is your most underrated piece? Like, is there anything you've done that you really love that for whatever reason people just didn't respond to the way that you kind of hoped they would?
No, I mean, like, usually I. I'm sick of my shit enough by the time that I put it out that I'm like if people don't like it, I'm like, yeah, that figures. And if people do like it, I'm like, oh, people actually like this. They must not know how bad it is. So I don't know. I don't know. That's hard to say. They all get slept on pretty hard, I feel like, compared to, you know, a lot of stuff on the internet does really well because it's like related to a video game or some pop culture stuff, or I don't know. I don't really understand why millions of people watch some of the things that millions of people watch. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. all my stuff is, I'm so stoked that anybody is anywhere near as weird as me that they enjoy the weird stuff that I make, I guess is the bottom line.
All right. Well, in that case, thanks so much for talking to me. This has been really great.
Yeah, dude, it's been good talking to you. And, you know, hopefully I run into you one of these days at some paleo convention or something like that.
You ever come touring to Atlanta, you shoot me an email. I will be there, believe me.
Sweet. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and I'll keep you in the loop as things develop. But yeah, I appreciate you doing this. I think the reason why my stuff has really taken a while to start to grow an audience is because I hate advertising and I hate bullshit web promotion type gimmicks. I really just, this is, I think, what is the best way to spread the kind of things that I'm trying to make is like just by talking to people and like, you know, word of mouth. You know, like your friends saying like, hey, you're into geology and whatever, you're into paleontology, you should check out this weird rapper. And then you're like, all right, yeah, whatever. You know, it's probably a stupid joke rap about, you know, rocks or something. Anyway.
It's not. And that's what kept me coming back.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, anyway, I appreciate you doing this. This is awesome.
All right. So just just like on a practical level.
Yeah.
So you're gonna send me the MP3, you said?
Yeah, I can send you an MP3, or I mean, if I were to send you a not MP3, it would be really big and long. And if you want, I can spot through it and cut out times like this when we're talking about how the fuck we're gonna do this.
I think I still kind of like those, just because I tend to use those for notes if I like back from.
Okay, keep it real. Keeping it real. Well, I'm hoping the audio quality is good enough that you can hear yourself okay, because it the phone's a little hard to hear on this end, but the level's coming through on the computer looking okay, so hopefully.
I have some notes, so hopefully I can cobble together some kind of like Frankenstein's monster of this.
Yeah. Well, and if worse comes to, like, if you don't, you have audio editing software of one kind or another?
I do, yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, and if worse came to worse and you're like, dude, you fucking rambled so much. can you chop this down a little bit for me? I'd be willing to do that. If I can find some time. Anyway. Let me know whatever technical support you need.
I have your email, and so I may throw you some follow up questions.
Okay. Sweet.
For the most part, yeah, this has been really great, Brian. Thanks.
Yeah, good talking to you, Asher. And, hit me up when the interview's up, and I'll throw it up on my Twitter and Facebook so that people who want to hear us talk about dinosaurs and stuff can find it.
All right. Okay, yeah. It's been great talking to you, man.
Yeah, likewise. Stay strong. Sorry I rambled so much.
I will. All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.